And welcome back to another edition of the On The Board Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Sean Thomas, a.k.a. Shawnee on the mic on this seasonably warm September day. But before we talk about that, as always, joined by my main man, my co-host, William Cherucci, a.k.a. Will C. Will, how you doing, pal?
I'm good, buddy. How are you? Long time no see.
I'm hot.
I mean, you should be.
It is September 6th.
Right.
And it is 90 plus. September always has this last-minute heat wave.
Yes.
Before summer says, all right, see you next year.
Summer solstice ends September 21st.
Very, very true.
We talked about this last week.
But, Will, August was cold. Was it not cold? Well, it was cooler.
Right.
I'm not happy, Will. Where was this last month? Or at least last week? Jesus Christ. But anyway, Will, how are you, sir?
I'm okay. Can't complain. Just, you know, hanging in. For the people out there that are asking about the elbow injury, I'm okay. I'm getting a lot better. Just want to get the strength back into the elbow. I got the range of motion back, which is great. Just got to strengthen it up, and then we're all cleared to go in October. So that's where we are right now.
Very, very.
So that is an update on yours truly. But like you said, with the weather, it is hot. But like you said, every year it's always like this in September.
Always,
always.
It never fails.
Always,
never fails. Well, so well, definitely glad to hear about that, man, and I can't wait for you to be back at 100% and doing and all those things. Well, I have to see you back on the court. When you post on the court of you shooting and playing ball, it makes my day. Well,
thank
so
you.
I can't wait for you to post that. Hopefully, the weather stays nice so you can go to the court before outside gets cold.
Been a while.
It has been a definite while. Well, New York baseball, my friend.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees, they called up the kids. The Mets, they called up the kids prior to September 1st.
Right.
And the call-ups. And both teams have been playing very, very well. We'll start with the Yankees first, Will. Mm-hmm. And, well, that sweep that the Yankees had over the weekend, Houston is trying to, you know, stay in first place or at least stay in contention in the West, because three of those teams, they're records are very, very similar. Will. So they went into Detroit. They took care of the business there. They went into Houston after that sweep. That Sunday night game, I watched the whole game, Will. It was a very good game. Glaber is starting to hit. But, Will, as the resident Yankee fan on the show, Will, I want to pitch it to you and say, well, since the kids have come up, led by top prospect Jason Dominguez, Will, Yankees have been playing very, very well. Another win last night. Gerrit Cole looked great, as he always does. Well, what's your take, one, on the state of the Yankees since we last spoke? But more importantly, number two, since the kids have come up, what's your thoughts on how they've played and how the team has played?
Well, the state of the Yankees is this. People that are talking about the playoffs and the radio heads, all that, the talking heads. Wow. We're talking playoffs here, right?
Yes.
Yankees aren't making playoffs. They're not. It's a far gone conclusion at this point. Anything's possible, yes. We've seen some crazier things happen. We've seen a couple of collapses. Your Mets collapsed in 07, 08.
Twice, yeah.
All that, you know, 2009.
Yep.
But we're not talking about the Mets right now. We're talking about the Yankees. I don't see this team making it to the playoffs. I don't see it happening. They did themselves in, and rightfully so. They legitimately have to figure out now for the future what they want to do. What is their game plan from here on out? Because I was going back and forth with it with Jose McFly, yeah. Joe Solano from Talking Yanks.
Talking Yanks, yep.
Yeah, great, great stuff. Love him. Yep. Love the content and friend of,
yep,
of us in the show.
Yes.
But at that same token, you know, at first I'm like, yeah, you know what? Maybe you should bring up Jason Dominguez, you know, next year when you really don't have anything to play for at that point in time. And you know what? The kid has really put it in my mouth. And he has just basically just told the people that said, this kid shouldn't be called up now. He's been killing it. He has. He's hit two home runs in his first four games. I think it's the first, one of the first Yankees since Aaron Judge to hit his first home run in his first at bat. And not only that, but when I look at him, you know, first off, this kid is absolutely unbelievable. He is. He is absolutely downright unbelievable. A little bit, you know, you say to yourself, this guy is really a Martian.
He looks like he should be playing on Sunday as well.
He looks like he should be playing football.
Like he's physically built.
But not only that, but you bring up Austin Wells. You bring up, you know, at the beginning of the year, you bring up Anthony Volpe. Mm-hmm. You bring up all these other guys, Cabrera, Peraza. Mm-hmm. You know, we haven't seen Estevan Florial this
right,
year.
Right,
he should be up here, but
right.
That's besides the point. It is what it is, what's going on there. But the Yankees aren't making it to the playoffs. And they had to play this veteran-laden team. And Cashman thought at the trade deadline that by not making any moves, maybe they could have woken up and they could have, you know, fought their way into a wild card spot. Instead, they lost out to the Atlanta Braves. They lost out to the Red Sox. They lost a lot of series in August. And because of that, they are where they are right now.
Yeah.
So, and one thing that I will say, too, is the fact that, yeah, Gerrit Cole is getting his due. And Luis Severino, and, you know, we mentioned last show about the aforementioned Domingo Germán.
How
about Clark Schmidt coming up and doing his thing?
He's been
playing very, very well
yes.
over this course of time. And let's not forget, the Yankees, they dropped Harrison Bader.
Bader, yeah.
In order to bring up Dominguez at this point in time. And they've been playing well. You know, the kids have been playing well. And as far as the offseason goes, what 2023, this is all about 2024 and beyond here with the Yankees. Okay, let's not mistake that for anything else. Yeah, they're playing well. They're winners of their last four games. They're the winners of 7 out of their last 10. But let's understand this. This is all about 2024 and beyond. And if you're Hal and Brian Cashman and Randy Levine, if Brian Cashman even stays, he might be fired at the end of the year.
True.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've been calling for it. A lot of Yankee fans have been calling for it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to be honest with you. Okay. The Yankees need a change of guard. They need a fresh breath of air in that front office. And I believe that they need to go after somebody that, you know, forget the analytics side of things. They got to get back to a baseball standard.
Yes.
And the one thing that I will say, and this is my final thing on it, two final things, actually. Number one, you've got Dominguez up here. He's your left-handed bat. He's your future.
Yeah.
The Yankees needed a left-handed bat. They don't have Anthony Rizzo here. That it is what it is with the concussion, whatever. Okay, the second thing is the free agency way of going about building your team has to stop.
Mm-hmm.
It has to stop. Enough with bringing in guys and the thought process around the fan base. Oh, we got to bring in Shohei Ohtani to spend, you know, we got to spend $500 million to go out there and get players here. You got to go out there and you got to get this guy. We got Rodon here. He's one of the best free agents. Why hasn't he? No, enough's enough. Rodon has had an injury history. Shohei Ohtani is injured almost all, not injured all the time, but we're getting to see the arm injury.
Tommy Johnson, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, the Angels are trotting him out there because the fact that they can make money on the advertisements and trying to get season tickets and stuff, he might be leaving.
He might be.
So all this stuff with the free agency has to stop. Free agency isn't the way to go. You have guys here that are locked up for the next 2-3 years. You got to bring up these young kids in order to bring in this youth movement like they did in 2017. And they made it to the wild card game at that point in time, Sean. That's where the Yankees have to be, with young talent here coming up. And I know that we've talked about this ad nauseum in the past couple of years, but in my opinion, free agency is never the way to go. It never has been. And they got to find ways to move contracts out in order to get some of this youth in here.
Well, I agree with mostly everything you said. The Yankee way has always been stardom, has always been names, has always been this and that. But the Yankees have a great history of producing their own guys from the farm and doing
not recently.
All that stuff. Not recently, correct. But you know what I'm saying? Overall, I say all that to say this. You're 100% right in terms of you have to let the kids play. Dominguez and Peraza, Florial at some point, Austin Wells, yada, yada, yada. But it goes on and on and on. The kids have to play. To me, and listen, I'm not a Yankee fan. I'm from an outside looking in.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees need to go back to the basics of building up the farm. Because, well, I gave three great examples last week of teams that built up the farm And not only did they have the players to play for them every day, they also had good enough players to trade away to get the pieces that they needed to complete the team. That's what the best teams do. The Yankees have players that could play for them right now. The Yankees don't have enough talent in the farm just in case they need to get a third guy, or get an arm or get another bat here or there. So to me, continue developing the farm, continue to scout, continue to draft well, and do all those things. But you know this, and I know this too. As much as we may want them to, you know, develop the farm and do all those things, if there's a big name that's there, the Yankees at least have to put in some type of bid. Shohei may not come here. I don't think he is.
I don't think so either.
I think he's comfortable out west.
I agree.
And even if he leaves the Angels, I don't think he's leaving the West. The Dodgers' pockets are just as deep. So I think he stays west. But you have to at least put in a bid for him. You got at least...
Oh, now, no doubt.
Right.
No doubt. Put in a bid and make it happen with the contract and the money.
Right.
Yeah.
But the right people to go after is guys like a Blake Snell, because you need arms. Guys like an Aaron Nola, because you need arms. Just from a need standpoint. The Yankees don't have enough arms in the farm to bring up to fill out 3, 4, 5 long relief, yada, yada, yada. Now, the bullpen is very good.
Right.
And the Yankees have had, for the most part, the last few years, a very good pen.
They have.
So the pen you don't really need to focus on, just really, you know, tie up the ends pretty much. But after Gerrit Cole, and I guess you have to count Carlos Rodon because he's under contract and he's here. Severino is a big question mark, and he's also an agent.
Mm-hmm.
Herman is a major question mark, and the fifth guy, I don't even know who the fifth guy is right now. Clark Schmidt. There you go. So you have three under contract for next year, but 4 and 5 are big question marks. That's if you want to even make Clark Schmidt the third guy, which you probably don't. I'm sure they will feel more comfortable having him as a 4 or 5th guy. Cole is ace. Everybody knows that.
Mm-hmm.
You're paying Rodon as a number. Well, you're really paying him as a number one, but right. He's a 2
mm-hmm.
on this team. So those are the guys that the Yankees should be going after in terms of a free agency, not the Shohei's and the third baseman from Toronto. I believe his name is
Matt Chapman.
Matt, right. Third base has been a question mark for this team.
Yeah.
I saw that the Yankees were the favorites for him. Okay, great. Then I saw the contract. Well, I'm seeing Chapman could go for 150 mil, 160 mil. You know better than me. I think that's crazy.
I agree.
But hey, if that's a need and he's there, the Yankees are not going to shy away from a need if they have the money to spend. That's my only point.
I understand that. And I think that whoever the general manager here is next year, I think that they're going to go as far as positions go, and I think that the way how this team has been over the course of time, over the past 6 years, 7 years, they've spent money out of necessity.
Correct.
They haven't spent money just to spend money like they did in the 2000s.
Right.
And in 2013, in that offseason of 2013.
Mm-hmm.
So what I say to the people out there that are the Yankee fans, or even the baseball fans in general, is the fact that there are many, many teams that want to go after Matt Chapman. There are many teams that probably will go after Gio Urshela if he's out there on the free agent market. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's a reunion with Urshela here because of how loved he was with the fan base. And yeah, the batting average is one thing, but he was a great, great defensively gifted third baseman.
He really was.
He was. And, you know, when I look at him, it's just absolutely unbelievable. But for 2024 and beyond, you know, they just have to figure out what's going on. And another key here, too, is we haven't really mentioned about it. What's Aaron Judge going to say? Is he going to be like, are we going to go full youth movement here? Are we going to be like, what's going on? He's the Yankee captain now. So I think his words hold a little bit of value.
Without a doubt.
In that sense.
Yeah, you know? Gerrit Cole, he's not the... a captain, but he's your ace.
Yeah.
So you may want to get his input too, mm-hmm. especially in rotation that you may want other guys to be a part of. I would at least pick Gerrit Cole's brain, like, hey, we're thinking about such and such, Cam. Like, what do you think, so on and so forth. So, right. Well, they've won, four straight games now?
Four straight games, 7 out of their last 10.
7 out of the last 10. They're playing well. I agree with you. I think the playoffs are not in reach. But, hey, look, we've seen teams do the most. And maybe this is the spark that they needed to have. Not to get to the playoffs, but maybe this is the spark that they had to have this whole time. And maybe it's too little, too late, but we shall see. But in terms of the kids, outstanding start for all of them, Wells and Dominguez.
One more thing before I go, okay? You got to go up against Boston. You got to play up against Toronto twice.
Twice, yeah.
Yeah, you know, could it be reasonable? You're still, what, 7 games back of that final wild card spot? You have to have a lot of things break right.
Correct.
Now, should there be optimism? Of course. But the realistic point of view is you're really reliant on the youth coming in and having to build up this team.
Yeah.
You know, so in a way, yeah, the players are going to want to go out there and win games because that's their job. But realistically speaking, from the fan base perspective, with the way how you should be thinking right now, is, you know, you got to take it one game at a time.
Yeah.
At that point in time. And 7 games, look, is it possible? We've seen crazier things happen, like I said before. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, they need to figure out, you know, they know what they are. Okay, the Yankees, they know what they are right now at this point in time. And that's it. You know, for the fan base, for the majority of the fan base, and for the people out there that run these podcasts and these social media sites, oh, they have a little bit of hope left with 16 games with their elimination number and such, and they're 7 games back. It's doable. I understand that they're playing an under 500 schedule or close to near under 500 schedule.
Yeah.
But, you know, come on. Come on, guys. Let's be realistic here. That's all I got
to
say on that.
Right. It's okay to be optimistic, but yes, you also have to be realistic.
Absolutely.
At the same
and that's
time.
Not being a Debbie Downer either.
No,
that's
it's not.
That's just being real.
It's being real, yeah. It's being real. Yeah. So, well, let's transition from a team in the Bronx to the team in Queens, another team that's been playing pretty well, and that is my New York Mets. I am the resident Mets fan on this show, and Will, another win last night over the Washington Nationals after taking 2 out of 3 against a first place at the time Seattle Mariners team. Will, Kodai Senga, Will, Friday night, 12 strikeouts.
He's good.
12 strikeouts, and was I nervous at the beginning of the season? I think every Mets fan was, Will.
Mm-hmm.
But you can see that once he gets past the first couple innings, maybe the third, from the fourth on, he's money. Like, I think he's just one of those guys that have to go through the 1-9 the first time, and he may give up a run. He may give up 3.
Right.
But I also give Buck Showalter credit when he has struggled in the first, second, third, so on and so forth. Showalter hasn't pulled the plug on him. He lets him get through it. He lets him figure it out. And, well, you speak of 2024. Right now, he's our ace.
He should be.
For 2024.
He should.
Depending on who we get, because Steve Cohen has money, and Steve Cohen may decide to go crazy again. I don't think he should, but we shall see. Right. But, Will, I'm very, very excited about the kids that have come up. First of all, Brett Beatty is back. Ronnie Mauricio is finally here. And he's finally, and that series against Seattle, the guy had doubles, had triples, had singles, stealing bases. He gave us that spark, that juice that we haven't had. So, you know, he's up. Vientos, you know what I'm saying? He's still been here. DJ Stewart.
He's been a godsend.
Has been a revelation.
He has been.
For this team, Will.
Absolutely.
I think he had a stretch, like he had a homer in like 3 out of 4 games, and I think he had like 6 RBIs like last week or so.
Right.
Will, so I'm excited to see the kids that we, and I know these are grown men, but just kids jump to the phone.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm excited to see our kids win because, well, we should have had these guys playing in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
Ronnie Mariza should have been here in May, in June. Right. He's been tearing the cover off of AAA Syracuse. And so it's one of those things where I'm excited to see where it goes. The Mets know that they're out. Like, once you trade Verlander and Max Scherzer and Mark Canna and Tommy Pham, you know that you're out.
Oh, absolutely.
But the Mets, to me, are doing a very good job right now of experimenting with these kids. So they've had Ronnie Mauricio play second base.
Yeah.
Had him play third base.
Mm-hmm.
They've had Brett Beatty play third base and play in left field. DJ Stewart, he's been hot. He didn't even play last night, bro. Mm-hmm. Jeff McNeil was in right field because the Mets are going to experiment with Brett Beatty in left field.
Right.
Ronnie Mauricio in left field. So I like what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
trying to get whoever the new president of baseball ops is going to be. And idea of, okay, what can these guys do? But more importantly, for both our teams, what they can't do. Because, well, in sports, what you can do is sometimes more important than what you can do in different ways. So, well, they've been playing well. I'm excited for the future of this team.
Absolutely, you should be.
I'm getting, you know, I'm reading things, hearing things that where the favorites to land this guy from Japan and this free agent. I'm like you, Will, before I pass it on, Will. I'm like you. Steve Cohen, spend money to fill in the spots. But I think this team can contend in 2024. I honestly do.
Right.
Pete Alonso has 42 home runs. He may get to 50. I sure hope that he does. Listen, Lindor is not going anywhere. Pete better not be going anywhere. McNeil had a down year, but he's still very, very good. Nimmo, you gave him the big deal, and, you know, he hit a bomb last night. He's playing well. That's the core four.
Mm-hmm.
You have a core four. I'm sorry. You have a core five. Francisco and Alvarez hit a three-run bomb last night.
Yeah.
Fill in the spots. Figure out where or if Brett Beatty is a part of his team long-term.
Right.
Whether Ronnie Mauricio is a part of his team.
Right.
Long term, whether DJ Stewart,
mm-hmm.
DJ Stewart,
well, yeah.
I had no idea who the hell DJ Stewart was. Well,
yeah.
If he's a part of this team long term, well, so well, the state of my Mets, what's your take, sir?
Okay, so first and foremost, I remember what Stevie Cohen said at his press conference in, I believe, June, and we're all listening in and we're all watching, and I'm saying to myself, this guy's speaking spot on with the fact that he does need a president of baseball operations to figure out what's going on. Is Billy Epler the guy that's going to be here for next year and beyond? It looks like it.
Yeah.
We're going to find out.
Soon, yeah.
Very
yeah.
soon.
Yeah.
And then, number three, the pitching rotation and how to develop it and how to get the money in there. Because, in a way, he kept on talking about how the team itself hasn't really developed any starting pitching over the course of time since the four aces with DeGrom, Harvey.
Time to be alive.
Yeah.
What a time that was.
Matt, Zach Wheeler.
Yeah.
Having those guys there. So that was something that really needed to be addressed. And the Mets right now, they don't have any starting pitchers coming up or pitchers in general that are going to be like, okay, this guy's our best prospect.
Right.
You got Ronald Acuna's brother coming up.
Yes.
You got the two guys that are coming from Houston.
Houston, yes.
Playing up in the next couple of years. So
yes.
That's very fun to see. But again, paper championships don't really win you anything.
Correct.
Number two, this clubhouse cancer shit that I keep on hearing about on the radio. I got to call out Sal Licata. I love Brandon Tierney. I do. But I got to call out Sal here on this. Okay? Well, what is going on here with regards to this toxic clubhouse culture with the Mets? Yeah, the record is what it is. It speaks for itself. It's on the players. Steve Cohen has addressed that. And rightfully so. Every Met fan knows that, including yourself. But at that same token, you can't tell me that after seeing what I saw with my own eyes, the fact that they were at the U.S. Open the other night, at like maybe six guys as a team, you're going to tell me that, oh, it's a clubhouse cancer and Pete Alonso's part of it? What?
No.
Sal, I know you're a Met fan, but what are you thinking?
Yeah, that's not.
What are you thinking, bro? I get it. You just got into the 10 a.m. spot. You're looking to get some sort of ratings. You're looking to get some something. I get it. I get it. I understand it. You've been with the fan for such a long time. But what is this? Yeah. And then you got Pete on his contract year next year. I get it. I understand it. If you trade him, you get a lot of value back. And the stars, they do get traded. You know, Seaver got traded.
Yeah.
You know, Griffey Jr. got traded. There's a lot of names that got traded. But sometimes those trades don't work out in your favor.
Correct.
At that point in time, a la the aforementioned Seaver deal.
Seaver, yeah.
You know. So what I say here to the people, it's like, can we not just take things one day at a time?
Yeah.
Can we not just take things one day at a time? You know, that's it. Let these guys live their lives. And that's it. You know, I understand we're all sports fanatics. I get it. I understand it. But Sal, my man, Sal, what are we doing? Okay. And I love listening to you and Brandon Tierney talk at that 10 a.m. hour to 2. I love it. I love it. I love Sal Licata. Out of all the people that you could hate on more, I don't hate on Sal because I like him because he's a knowledgeable man.
Right.
But at that same point in time, we understand I can't speak for you.
Yeah.
I can speak for myself. I know what you're trying to do. You're trying to draw up ratings at that point in time. You're trying to get people to view and listen to your show. You're trying to get viewers and listenership and listeners in. You may say that you're the smartest guy in the room. You're not dumb. You are not. You're a Syracuse guy. I get it. I'm an Empire State College guy. I'm an electrician. Okay? But still, what are we doing, man?
Right.
You know what I mean? What are we doing, Sal? That's all I wanted to say on that whole Pete Alonso thing. And then number three with Pete, you know, I'm going to say this. This guy is an underrated defensive first baseman. He is. He's made some very spectacular plays at first base. He's scooped them out with the best of them. And for the aforementioned Licata to say that he is horrible defensively, what games are you watching at that same point in time? I'm a Yankee fan. I would love to have this guy on my team, Pete Alonso. I would.
Bro, a whole bunch of teams would.
Yeah.
A whole bunch of teams.
So it's like, what are we doing here? You know, he is not defensively bad. He's not. He's underratedly good. It's not like he's Bill Buckner letting the ball go underneath him. He's made some spectacular plays.
Right.
And we're going to call him poor, defensively speaking. Get out of here with that.
And I've watched games and I've seen guys will throw the ball from third base. And because of their shortcomings, it makes Pete look bad.
Yeah.
Well, I've seen Brett Beatty throw horrible balls across the diamond to first base. And, of course, when it gets to Pete, he got a scoop, he got a stretch, he got a jump, he got a dive. And because you see the end result, you're not looking of where it began. You're not seeing that Brett Beatty threw the ball 5 feet behind Pete, and he got a lunge to his left.
Correct.
And not hit the guy that's running full speed on first base.
Right.
So, yes, it makes Pete look bad, but Beatty has thrown him some horrible balls, Will. Lindor the same, McNeil the same. Anybody that's played third, second, or short has thrown some bad balls to
Agreed.
Pete. And so I agree with you. I think he's very underrated.
And
Is he great? No, but you don't have to be great.
And I think that he is the face of the franchise.
Without a doubt.
He is. I mean, you want to talk about Lindor being the face of the franchise, that's one thing. But in my opinion, all this guy has done since he's come up here, and I've heard the one-dimensional stuff too. Yeah, he's hit home runs. But you know what? On some of these games where you look at the lineup and they're not producing, he's hitting it out. And he's getting on base. And he's doing his thing. That's what you want.
How dare somebody say he doesn't produce? The man has 42 home runs. He may get to 50.
He's going
to
be one of the all-time... if not, he is already one of the all-time greatest Mets.
He is. He is. And, well, he was an afterthought because all you heard was Dom Smith.
Yeah.
Dom Smith. Dom
yeah.
Smith.
Oh, yeah.
Dom Smith.
And he's producing at Citi Field.
Yes.
Where it is a pitcher's haven.
Pitch, yes.
For years since Citi Field has been open. It has been nothing more than a pitcher's ballpark.
Yes.
And ever since Pete Alonso came up in 2019, he's bashed 53 home runs. He's on his way to getting 50
the derbies.
Right now. The home run derbies, like, come on, guys.
He's won the derby.
Come on.
All-star, appearances. He's the type of player that will forget what sport it is. He's the type of player that every team should want as their face.
He's the type of guy that you want to tune into.
Yes.
All the time. He's the top 10 player in the game.
He just donated, I think, 10 or 20K from his own money to that school in the, I want to say, the Bronx, to fix up their park so they could play games there. So he's involved in the community. Will, he is a player from a team in Queens that went to the Bronx, bro. Like, yes, it's New York Mets, but he went to the Bronx, bro. Like, he doesn't care where this... I want to help them. I want to contribute to them.
Of course.
Doing and so forth.
Of course.
The Mets will be stupid not to... And I hate to use that word, but the Mets will be very, 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 very stupid
Absolutely.
To not sign this man to a long-term deal. Yep. Yes, I know at 37, 38, he's going to suck. He may not suck, but he probably will, but who knows? But we're not thinking about 38 and 39. He's 28 now. Sign this man, give him 8-9 years, whatever.
Yeah.
Over 200 mil because he deserves it. He deserves it.
Yeah.
Not because what he does on the field, but also off the field. I don't even know that some of the players went to go watch the U.S. Open World.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if guys are doing that, how is there a cancer?
Yeah.
Or whatever word that he used.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not cool.
I mean, you know what? With my final thing is on this. If you're talking about, like, the shoes and, like, all these videos that come out, you know, that you see the Mets social media team do, like, oh, how many pairs of shoes does Francisco Lindor have? Who's got the best shoe collection? And it's like some players can kind of get rubbed the wrong way. Maybe there's a, you know, maybe somebody in the clubhouse is fooling around with another person's girl in that clubhouse. I don't know.
I don't know.
It could be that.
You never know, yeah.
But we don't know. We don't know. And the only people that know are the people that are the baseball insiders that hear about these stories or these baseball writers.
Yeah.
So, you know, having said all this right now, it's like, what cancer is there at that point in time? You know what I mean? So it just, real quick,
Will, Jose Quintana has pitched very well for us.
Mm-hmm.
I think over his he pitched 7 innings last night, 1 run before hits. It's crazy to think if he was healthy at the beginning of the year, where this team could be. Because if he was pitching like this, the Mets will be... I don't think the Mets trade Scherzer or Verlander if you had him.
Yep.
But you were depending on guys like Tyler McGill and David Peterson and all these guys. And no offense to them, but if they were the future of the team, I think they'll be, you know, doing more and stuff like that. So shout out to Jose Quintana. And we see where the Mets go. You got a couple more games in Washington. And
one more thing I want to add.
Yeah.
Kode Sang is the ace of this team.
Correct.
He is. There is no doubt about it.
Correct.
No doubt about it.
Correct.
This guy does it all.
Correct.
He's got that ghost ball. He can fool you with a couple pitches here and there. To me, if they go out there and they spend money on, again, like Ohtani, yeah, Steve Cohen's going to be in it, no doubt. He's going to be in it. But it's not the way to go. It's not the way to go. It is not the way to go. That's all I got to say on that. It's not.
There is one free agent pitcher. If I'm the Mets.
Who do you want?
I want Blake Snell.
Okay, that's fair. And then we're back. Part two of this, the camera wound up shutting off. We're recording off of the iPhone here. Wound up shutting off. So, we were talking about the Giants, okay? We finished up talking about the Mets, and I had to get up and see where we were, and here we are. The Giants right now, week one football season, you got Giants, Cowboys, you got Jets, Bills to lead off New York football. It's going to be absolutely unbelievable, to say the very least. But let's talk about the Giants here first, Sean. And where do you see the Giants, you know, playing up against the Cowboys week one? You know, Daniel Jones has been going through a lot. Same thing with Darren Waller, this defense, Saquon Barkley going in there, the underrated wide receiver core. Where do the Giants play up against the Cowboys this coming week?
So, well, I feel like I was listening to the sports radio yesterday, and I feel like sports radio fans, they're so pumped. It's the Cowboys. It's week one. You know, Giants fans got to keep two things in perspective. The Cowboys have owned you the last 3, 4, 5 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, owned you. Dak has never lost to the Giants. They he and the Cowboys, they own you. But keep in mind, this is week one. A loss does not set you back. A loss is okay. You're not, no, there's a reason why no team has gone 17-0, 18-0, 19-0, blah, 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 blah. So,
but one team has, the Dolphins.
The Dolphins, correct. I'm sorry, correct.
It's okay.
Correct.
But we understand the notion.
Yeah, the notion, right.
Go ahead.
So, boy, I'm excited for the Giants because I feel like they're also being disrespected at the same time. Right. This is a team that not only made the playoffs, went on the road and won a playoff game. Mm-hmm. Now people are going to say, yeah, it was against the Vikings weren't that great. Say what you want. They went on the road and won a road playoff game in a stadium, in a city that has some of the best fans. Skoll and the Vikings, like, that stadium rocks. Like, mm-hmm. I've had friends who've watched games there, gone there.
Been outside of it. Place is huge.
Right. It's right. It's freaking crazy. So, and then I know they went to Philly and they got destroyed. But guess what? Philly destroyed a whole bunch of teams last year. So, there's no reason to feel down on that. To me, the Giants improved. They added pieces to the secondary. The Giants improved. They added pieces to the linebacking core. But offensively, well, I drafted Darren Waller in my work league, in fantasy. I think he's gonna have a very big year.
Right.
I think Daniel Jones is gonna have a very big year. If the offensive line improves, they improve, now you get Waller as option one. If you gotta double team him or put one of your better cover guys on him, that opens up room for Paris Campbell and Hodgins and Shepard. And oh yeah, you have one of the best backs in the league in Saquon. So, well, I'm excited for this game. Well, the Giants got to be very careful. I think the Cowboys. Well, I think the best defense this season will be the Jets at one or at two. Mm-hmm. The Cowboys are right up there.
They are
with the
no
Jets.
Doubt. No doubt.
Micah Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence as the starting two defensive ends are just as good, probably better than any team in the league. Say what you want about, you know, Diggs. He gets burnt. He also leads the league in picks the past couple of seasons. Stephon Gilmore isn't the Stephon Gilmore of old, but now he doesn't have to cover your number one. Now he's covering your number two. I think he can do that. They have very good safety play. Well, I think it's going to come down to two coaches, Will. Mike McCarthy's finally caught in place. Kellen Moore's gone. All you heard, Dak didn't take the next step because it was Kellen Moore. It was Kellen Moore. It's Kellen Moore. Right. Kellen Moore's gone now.
Right.
Can Mike McCarthy outduel Wink Martindale? Because I think the Giants have pieces to put up points, even though the Cowboys' defense is good. But can they stop the Cowboys? Because you haven't in the past 3, 4, 5 years.
Right.
They've scored at will for the most part mm-hmm. on you guys. Can you stop CeeDee Lamb? Can you stop Brandon Cooks? Can you stop Tony Pollard? And more importantly, can you stop Dak? So I think Mike McCarthy, I know it's Cowboys, Giants, but I think those two coaches, whoever has the better day, we'll see Mike McCarthy for the Cowboys and Wink Martindale for the Giants. I think that's who we'll see win Sunday night.
Yeah, and I like personally, like, I want to see what Daniel Jones has to bring against this Dallas Cowboys defense because of the fact that he basically went out and he signed this big, big extension. Everybody was questioning him at the beginning of last year. He proved a lot of people wrong, and now once you get the money, you have to show up. Yeah. There's a lot more pressure and a lot more expectation on Daniel Jones. You got this underrated wide receiving core. They have themselves a nice little preseason to that extent. You got Darren Waller in here. He's going to open up the passing game for Danny Dimes, something that he hasn't had really ever at that point in time. And then you look at Saquon Barkley. Is he going to grow and do his thing? And then you look at the Giants' defensive line, and you're saying to yourself, okay, they got Leonard Williams there. They got the nose tackle.
Dexter Lawrence.
Dexter Lawrence. Thank you. See, I'm not a Giants fan, but thank you.
Yes, sir.
You know, so you look at that, and the secondary can be a little bit underrated.
Yeah.
And to that extent, but they need to play a solid game. They can't be one of these teams that's going to go out there and commit a penalty every game. That is something that they didn't do last year. They were actually one of the better teams in not committing penalties. So if they could do that and they could try and force that run a little bit, down that Cowboys' throat because we know how good that passing game is, the pass defense is. Because now, like you said, you got the aforementioned Gilmore over there. It's and they got the guy that was leading the league in interceptions at one point in time on that team.
Right? The corner?
Yeah, the corner. Diggs. Trayvon Diggs.
Yeah.
They do that. They run the ball and they set up the pass game. I think the Giants can win by maybe a couple points here.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be a close game. I like the momentum that the Giants have been carrying in to this home opener. So we're going to find out a lot about this team.
We definitely will. And, I'm just excited that, like you said, this game has always been in Dallas. Like, finally, last year, they broke it up. The Giants played somebody else. The Cowboys played somebody else. But this is, you kind of know week one is going to be Giants, Cowboys, and it's at MetLife. What a way to start week one for the employees at
absolutely
a MetLife. You get the Cowboys on Sunday night. They're going to change the field from blue to green, put Jets on the 50, and then you're going to welcome in Josh Allen.
The throwback logo.
I like that.
Absolutely. First time they're doing that really ever at MetLife.
I thought the Jets were going to save it for like another game. The Jets are rolling out the throwback, all whites, the throwback jerseys, week one. The Jets are wasting no time about doing that. Speaking of the Broadway team, speaking of JT at Jets at Jets.
Can't wait.
Will is the resident Jets fan.
Can't wait.
Show.
Can't wait.
Will, Monday night, September 11th. It's going to be an emotional night. It's going to be an emotional day, but in terms of the game,
absolutely.
I'm sure fans and everybody are going to be decked out in FDNY gear, NYPD gear, first responders gear, and all that stuff. Yep. So September 11th is never going to get old. It's never, ever, ever going to get old.
No, it's that, something that that will tragic replay, day. Yeah, it's for something that will be replaying in my mind forever. And that's something that you'll never forget where you are.
Exactly.
It's one of those moments.
One
so,
of those moments, right. So, know, Will, but in terms of tough. The game, the Buffalo Bills come in. The Jets beat the Bills when they came in last year.
They
went to Buffalo, and the Jets, if the Jets had any offense in that game, the Jets would have swept Buffalo last year. Buffalo improved, or so we think. The Jets obviously improved, getting Aaron Rodgers. He's going from 12 to number 8. Joe Namath gave him the blessing of the word 12. He said, no. You won a Super Bowl at 12. I want to win a Super Bowl for this team wearing my old college number. You won high school and college, which was 8. Yeah. Well, I say all that to say this. I think this is going to be the best game of the slate. I think we won this is going to be the best game of the slate.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills and Jets will, I think they're slowly becoming a rivalry. I see the Patriots kind of, no offense, Brady's gone. To me, Jets-Patriots hasn't had the luster it once has.
It hasn't
because the Patriots aren't winning the division anymore.
So,
but to me, again, I'm not the Jets fan, the outside looking in. I think as long as Buffalo reigns king, I think I can see this Jets-Bills becoming something now. And again, they've always played each other, so there's that. But, well, in terms of the game, Monday night, everybody's going to be watching this. Garrett Wilson versus Tre'Davious White. Can Dalvin Cook against his brother, James Cook.
Yeah.
The defenses. Both defenses are very, very good.
Yep.
Well, this game could either be 31-28 or it could be 17-10.
Mm-hmm.
I can see the game going both ways.
Yeah.
How do you see it, sir?
Well, the way I look at it with this team, with the Jets, is that they have, last year, statistically speaking, a top 5 defense. They wound up going out there and they did shut down Josh Allen. But at that same token, Josh Allen and Stephon Diggs have that relationship and that chemistry. Now, having said that, they have this, you know, they got to figure out like who the number one running back is, right? They got it. The Jets for years have had a good defense over that course of time. They've found ways to stop the running game. It's just always been that passing game. They just got to find a way to get to the quarterback. And last year, they managed in that game at MetLife, they managed to get into Josh Allen's head a little bit. They did. No doubt. Maybe there could have been a pass interference call at the end of the game.
I think so.
Don't know.
Gabe Davis was
okay.
Gabe Davis, but yeah, yeah.
but having said that, I think it's going to be a close game. I think that with both teams coming into this year, there's a lot of expectation, a lot of hype. But ultimately, the way how I see it is the fact that if the Jets want to win, they got to get to Josh Allen. They got to play spy on him. They got to go out there, and they can't let him run and even get in the pocket, let the pocket collapse, and then he's running free. If they can find a way to put a spy on him every time, they win 9 times out of 10. Okay. Now, on the offensive side of things, they have to literally, and I think with Aaron Rodgers, we got to see this because we saw this with Zach Wilson last year, trying to create these short, simple passes. They weren't going. Maybe Zach's got the yips. Maybe he's not the quarterback that we were thinking he was. But with Aaron Rodgers here, you're getting experience. The first game, the first series that he played, albeit it was against backups, against the Giants, this is something that you want to see. You want to see quick throws. You want to see simple completions being turned into big gains. And that's something that Rodgers, for years, has done. And with Garrett Wilson here, he's going to get a lot of targets. But let's not forget, too, that you got Lazard. You got Randall Cobb. Now you're going to have this guy Brownlee here, who may be, you know, this day and age is Wayne Corbett. I know that's a lot of pressure saying that on the kid. But, you know, you're an undrafted rookie for a reason at that point in time. And, you know, maybe he could be that spot, that simmer in the pan, you know, that spark like Wayne Corbett brought for the Jets. It's very similar, you know, the situation of what he's been bringing to the table. Dalvin Cook being here helps out a lot, you know.
Is Breece Hall healthy?
Yeah, is Breece Hall healthy?
Yeah.
You know, you got, and the tight end situation here too, that's been a question mark for years, is this tight end room. So, is Usama, is Jeremy Ruckert, is Kevin Conklin, you know, are they going to be those pieces? Is Conklin going to be that piece? You know, so there's a lot of things. And then finally, you know, we've been talking about this as fans, and I guess we could say we're media too, because we do this, is the offensive line. Joe Douglas has been saying he's been very shockingly surprised in a good way on how this offensive line is played. So we're going to find out, but I think that this game is going to be very close, no doubt. I think that the Jets, they have to figure out a way to get to Josh Allen, like every mobile quarterback they've been trying to get at for years. So I say this to say to you, I think that the Jets win this game on Monday night. I think that they set the tone and they set the atmosphere at MetLife. And it's all on the fans. You know, really, the fans, you know, have this expectation now of making it to the playoffs for the first time in 13 years. The fans have to rock this building.
Are you going to be there?
I will be there. Very I will good. Be there for every game except for the Patriot game.
Okay.
Every but home game, because I'm going to be in Italy with my girlfriend.
Very nice.
But place better be rocking. I remember, I'm going to go on a little story.
Go ahead, bro.
Okay, and then we'll get into our picks. The low point of the Jets that I've been a fan was not the 2020 season where they went 2-14, where they had no fans there. Yes, it's COVID. Team sucked. Adam Gase was awful. But the year prior to that, 2019, week, I think it was 15 or 16, it was one of the final game. It was the final game at MetLife that year. Steelers-Jets.
Oh,
I will never forget that.
I remember.
I will never forget going into that building and seeing 90% Steeler fans there.
Yeah.
Okay? I will never forget that for as long as I live, seeing that terrible towel being waved, seeing all that black and yellow. Now, you're going to talk about Sam Darnold seeing ghosts. You're going to talk about Adam Gase. You're going to talk about that 2020 team. You're going to talk about them beating the Rams. Is that being the low point of this team? No, the low point for me, was when they played up against the Steelers and how, even though they won that game.
They did.
They won that game.
They did.
Were you there for that?
I wasn't.
You weren't, but you remember
I
that.
I was. I'm sorry. I wasn't there for that.
You were there for that. So was I. I'll never forget that for as long as I live. That was the worst game. And now, nearly four years later, we're going to have a home opener where it's going to be loud. It's going to be rocking. And there's a lot of hype. There's a lot of hoopla. I better expect this place to be 2-1 Jet fans. Because I know Bills fans travel well. Bills Mafia will travel well. They'll be throwing people through tables.
Yes.
That is without a shadow of a doubt. I know that's going to happen. I take the train in these games. I know that's what's going to happen.
Yes.
But I'm going to say this to the people out there. That was the worst game that I've been to. The worst game. Now, the outcome was different. I get it. I understand it. I can even talk about the 2022 regular season finale against the Jaguars last year. The home season finale, where that was awful. That was probably one of the worst games. But the worst game that I've been to
on Thursday night, yeah,
was that game against the Steelers. No doubt. That was awful. But the comparison and the relatability here is Jet fans have been wanting this for years, to sell out your own place, to get 2-1 Jet fans to be the majority in that place. And home openers, they always have that optimism, always. And then as the year goes on, it is what it is. But let's bring it, Jet fans. I want to hear J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. I know I sound corny. I'll bring it back
no,
over
you
to
don't.
You.
No, you don't.
I'm going to bring it back over to you, Sean, okay? Because Jet fans have been wanting this day,
yeah,
wanting this team, wanting this quarterback for a very long time. I cannot wait for this year. When we get a time, though, but I can't wait for this year to start.
You know, well, you know, you don't sound a corny because, like you said, they've been yearning for this for a long time.
Absolutely.
They've wanted this for a long time. And how dare you don't sell out? Well, I know that it is. But how dare it better be, like you said, 80% Jets, 20% Bills. You got to respect the Bills. Like you said, they're going to travel. And it's an in-state game. That's a long drive down, but you could fly from Buffalo,
yeah,
which you
can.
Not even an hour. Definitely less than that. So the Bills fans are going to travel. So we shall see.
Absolutely.
Well, my friend, are you ready to make some picks?
Let's do it. I got the schedule right here.
I have it right here, too.
Let's do it. Okay.
So, you have my word. You guys also have my word. I will keep track this year. I promise you, all in 18 weeks, I will keep track this year. Usually, me and Ro make a wager. If we do it this year, we will figure it out.
Let's make a wager right now.
So what would you like the wager to be, sir?
Okay, so
you love...
I love pizza.
Yes, you do.
I love pizza.
You love a pizza, my friend.
All right. I don't know. Maybe you could come up with something.
I got something real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
I got something real quick. The loser has to treat the other one to food.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't have to be your pizza for you. It'd be whatever you want, whatever I want. Also, once the winner is chosen, the following show, that person needs to be decked out in the other person's team's gear.
So if I win the whole shebang,
yes,
you're dressed up in Jets gear.
From head to toe.
And if you win, I got to dress up in Titans gear.
From head to toe.
Oh, God.
Now, for you, I already have Titans hat, I have a Titans hoodie, I have Titans socks. So you may have to figure out the shorts.
We could do pants because it's going to be cold. I know they sell sweatpants.
Yes.
I know they sell sweatpants.
Yes.
And we're not talking about Titans of New York here either.
No. The Tennessee Titans.
I know.
But Will, no. I'm
corny. I know.
People. I'm adding a little bit more spice to it.
Okay.
The person must wear it not only to the show, but when we go out to eat as well.
All right, I like that. Let's do it.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Right here, guys.
Right here.
Got the hand right here.
So I will be at Will's restaurant of choice, paying the entire bill, dressed like a Jet. Will be at my restaurant of choice, dressed out in navy blue Tennessee Titans.
If the picks whoever wins. It's a friendly wager.
Yes.
One thing I won't do, though, when hockey season comes up, never wearing Ranger gear.
No.
We're not doing that. I know we talked about that last year.
No, me and Phil are not fans of that team, right. So... Well, I'll start it off, bro. Lions at Chiefs Thursday night. Travis Kelce may or may not play. We don't know that yet. He got hurt in practice. Who you got, bro?
I'm going to go with the Chiefs here. I know there's been some sort of, you know, upsets brewing over the past couple of years on opening night. And I think that this Lions team is hungry, with their coach being crazy about trying to break people's kneecaps and stuff like that, which is, you know, unbelievable. But I'm going to have to go with the Chiefs here. I can't bet against Patrick Mahomes in this situation. And it's a lot. It's a lot. Now, I understand that anybody can win on any given day. But to me, with Patrick Mahomes, you can't bet against him. I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
Well, I'm going to go with the Chiefs as well. If this was a Sunday game and not Thursday night, everybody you watching, Detroit may have a chance, but there's no way after unveiling another Super Bowl banner and the rings and trophy, the Chiefs will. So give me the Chiefs there. Will a AFC North clash, the Bengals travel down to Cleveland to take on the Cleveland Browns? Will actually, no, travel up to Cleveland to take on the Browns? Will.
Right.
Bengals at Browns, who you got, sir?
I'm going to go with the Bengals. I think Joe Burrow comes back healthy, and I think that team has a lot of things going on. Now, at that same token, the Browns, they are where they are right now. Deshaun Watson really hasn't been the same guy since he's come over to Cleveland, and Cleveland has been looking for their quarterback for the longest time. But they still got Nick Chubb. They still have a pretty good defense set. I like the Bengals, though, here in this spot. And this is going to be a very close game. Give me the Bengals.
Well, give me the Browns at home.
Okay.
I'm taking the Browns at home. Joe Burrow, he may or may not play because of the calf. I think he will play. He's on my fantasy team.
Right.
I want him to do well. Mm-hmm. But I think the Browns at home, I think the dog pound is going to show up and show out. So give me the Browns at home. Well, I think a game that we're also going to go pretty quickly here. Houston travels up to Baltimore to take on the Ravens.
Next,
Will.
Baltimore.
Baltimore. Baltimore for Will. Baltimore for me. Well, a very interesting game. Buccaneers at Vikings.
Interesting.
Very interesting game. Who you got there, pal?
I'm going to go with the Vikings here. I don't believe in Baker Mayfield on this Buccaneers team. I don't believe that. And I think that anytime you go up to Minnesota, we got, as a Jet fan, I wasn't in Minnesota for that game, but it's a tough place to play. It is. No doubt about it. We've seen people talk about it. We've seen players talk about it. We've heard fans talk about it with the skull chant, everything like that.
Yeah.
They have that home field advantage, and Kirk Cousins, I think, has something to prove. And I think that Vikings team has something to prove. Give me the Vikings at home.
Yeah, I don't like the Buccaneers' offensive line, even though the Vikings' defensive front is not as great. Give me the Vikings at home. Will NFC South showdown, Bryce Young, first overall pick. First game is in Atlanta against the Falcons. Panthers, Falcons, who you got, Will?
Falcons. I'm going to keep that one short and sweet. I think that the way how the Panthers have been playing this preseason, now it could be a little bit crazier. We've seen the 2011 Bengals start off poor in the preseason, and they went off to that crazy, crazy start in that crazy season that they did. Could it be in that similar circumstance there? Possibly, but I don't see that happening. I like the Falcons.
Yeah, well, I'm going to keep it short and sweet, too. Bryce Young, that defense is much improved in Atlanta. So is that in offense with Bijan Robinson, a top 10 pick. So yep. Give me the Falcons at home. Will, Cardinals at the Commanders.
Next.
Short and sweet. Commanders. Me and Will both have the Commanders. Well, this Cardinals team, they may be trying to tank. I think they are.
Oh, absolutely.
But we shall see. Will, Jaguars at the Colts.
Next.
South
next.
Showdown.
Next. Sorry. Sorry, Eric Sanchez. Sorry, buddy. Jaguars.
We're sticking to Jaguars, and so am I. Well, I think this has a chance to be the game of the day. San Francisco travels east to take on the Pittsburgh Steelers, who you were just talking about, Will. West Coast team coming east. We always know how that goes, Will.
Right.
Who you got, pal?
You know what? I'm going to go with the Steelers.
Okay.
I'm going to go with the Steelers here. I think they got Kenny Pickett there. He's their answer. They're, for years, they have an offensive line that's good. They draft wide receivers late in the rounds in the draft.
They always come up good.
And Mike Tomlin, I thought maybe he'd be gone. He's not. I think he's proving to be one of the greatest coaches to ever do it of our generation.
Yes, yes.
So I like the Steelers here. And the 49ers having to get that hand, you know, to be put on the road to start. It's a tough, daunting place to go to Pittsburgh, no doubt. But I like the Steelers here in this one. It's going to be a close game, but I like the Steelers here.
Well, the 49ers for the third straight year have opened the season not only on the road, but out east. They had the Bears last year, and then I forgot who the team was before that.
Yeah.
Not even Pittsburgh. Will, I'm making this my upset special.
49ers?
Give me Pittsburgh too.
Oh, Pittsburgh, okay.
Give me Pittsburgh too.
Okay, good.
Give me Pittsburgh too. this whole Nick Bosa and his contract, I think that's going to distract the guy. So give me San, give me Pittsburgh. I'm sorry. Gotcha. Okay. Upset special.
Okay.
Will my Titans travel to Nolens?
Nolens.
To take on the Saints in the Bayou, Will.
Yeah.
My Titans have the Saints. Who do you have back? In Nolens.
This is a tough one. I'm going to go with your Titans here.
All right.
I'm going to go with your Titans, and I think that that's going to be my upset special of the week.
There we go. Will's taking the Titans. Well, I'm taking my Titans as well, not because I'm a fan. Derek Carr, first game, all he's known is Oakland. All he's known is Vegas.
Yeah.
In the South, a new division. Even though he's played the Titans a whole bunch of times, DeAndre Hopkins still has something left. I think he's going to start it on Sunday. So give me my Titans on the road, Will. Well, Raiders at the Broncos, AFC West clash. Who you got, pal?
This is going to be a shootout.
I think so, too.
I think so. I mean, the Broncos have a top five defense, no doubt. And they have some underrated wide receivers. We don't know what's going to happen with Jerry Jeudy.
Jerry Jeudy, yeah.
You know, but, and Russell Wilson, is he going to be the same quarterback?
Right.
But I'm going to go with the Broncos here. They're home. They got the defense. I'll be shocked. I will legitimately be shocked if the Raiders win this game. Give me the Broncos.
Yeah, give me the Broncos. The Raiders with Chandler Jones couldn't get into the facility to work out. They got problems going on there. So give me the Broncos at home. What a very interesting game. The NFC champ Eagles fly to Foxborough to take on the dreaded New England, the Patriots. Well, who you got, Eagles at Patriots?
You know what? I'm going to go with the Eagles here. I think Jalen Hurts and company, they have – this is going to be a close game. I think
you hesitated there.
Yeah, I did, because I did want to take the Patriots, but I'm not going to. I'm going to go with the Eagles here. I'm rooting for the Eagles to beat the Patriots in this one. So very, very short and sweet on that, Eagles.
I'm not a believer in Philly this season, as a lot of people are. That defense took a lot of losses up front and in the secondary. But I'm just not a believer in the Patriots as well. So give me the Eagles, Will, on the road. Will, 4 o'clock. Well, that was the first 4 o'clock game. The second one, Rams at Seattle. NFC West clash, bro. Who you got?
Short and sweet. We're going to keep it short and sweet here. I think Geno Smith comes out.
Guns blazing?
Guns blazing. I like the Seahawks here.
Yeah, short and sweet. Rams are rebuilding
team. Let me tell you, whatever they call it up there, Quest Field or whatever they call it now, damn naming rights. Damn corporate sponsors. One day we want to have a corporate sponsor
correct
here for us, but correct. Damn these corporate sponsors with these stadiums.
Right.
The stadium names. That place is very, very loud.
Oh, and you have.
I've gotten to experience it.
Yes.
That place is one of my favorite places to go. I like the Seattle Seahawks here in this spot. 12th man.
12th man and all their loud fans. Yeah, well, give me Seattle as well. We're looking for the Rams. I don't think the Rams are going to finish the season how they start. Cooper Kupp, Aaron Donald. If they want to get some of these draft picks back, could be on the move. So let's see. Another interesting game. Will the Dolphins travel from east to west to Los Angeles to take on the Chargers, Will? Justin Herbert and crew, who you got, Dolphins or Chargers?
I'm going to go with the Chargers here. Again, this can be a close game. This can go either way.
Yeah.
Is Justin Herbert the real deal? Is Tua going to be that guy that's going to go guns blazing against this San Diego, this LA Chargers.
Right?
this Chargers defense. Tyreek Hill is a one of a kind game changer. I'm going to go with the Chargers at home.
Was going to go with the Chargers at home. Well, this is a very tough game to pick. Very tough. Give me the Dolphins. The Dolphins played the Chargers last year. I believe that was a Sunday night game that the Chargers won. They get to begin the season there as well. Well, I think Tua Hilton's going to have a big year. I really, really do. If it's a major, he's one hand away from probably retiring. So I think the Dolphins are going to road and get it done. Give me the Dolphins. Will, NFC North showdown, classic, one of the best rivalries in sports. Packers at the Bears.
Short and sweet here.
Who you got with?
The Bears.
Well, I'm not only going to give you one upset special. I'm going to give you two. I think the Packers get it done, bro.
Okay.
I think Jordan Love is going to be very good.
Okay.
I'm going to be great. He's been in that system for 3-4 years now. You know, waiting his turn. He knows the weapons. And he played this preseason. All these guys that don't want to play in the preseason, he played in all three games. He looked good all three times. Give me the Bears on the road to continue their dominance.
The Packers on the road.
I'm sorry, give me the Packers. Thank you. Will.
You're welcome.
Give me the Packers on the road to continue their dominance over the Bears. Will, Sunday night, Cowboys, Giants. They've owned the Giants. Does the train stop here for the Cowboys? And do the Giants win, Will? Who you got?
I think so. I think the Giants win. I think with the fans being pumped up, I think that, talk about the 12th man with Seattle, I think the 12th man for the Giants is going to come through big. And I personally believe that, looking at it, I think Daniel Jones is going to find a way to be that guy and get that connection with Darren Waller. So I think that he's going to be a difference maker for that team. I like the Giants here at home.
Well, the Cowboys fans travel exceptionally well.
That they do.
That stadium's going to be loud for when both teams are on the field.
Absolutely.
But, Will, you're stealing my picks here. Well, I like the Giants, too. Brian Dable's going to have a game plan to get the ball out quick so Michael Parsons and DeMarcus Lawrence do not go apeshit against the Giants. Very close game. I think Graham Gano, who's on my fantasy team, I think Graham Gano kicks the game winner fourth quarter. Give me the Giants. And, Will, Bills-Jets, the start of a new era for gangrene. I know you said the Jets are going to win. Before I make my pick, why do you think the Jets are going to win this game, Will?
The fans are going to be in it. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to be a difference maker. This is something that we haven't seen in a long time. The quick passes, everything like that. He's going to keep them on their toes. And then you're going to have this two-headed running attack, maybe three-headed running attack with Michael Carter. You've got Breece Hall, and you got Dalvin Cook being here.
Yeah,
I think with all these options here in place, I think the Jets, they find a way. It's going to be a close game. I think it could go either way, but I like the Jets here at home on Sunday, Monday Night Football.
Well, there is no way in hell the Jets are losing this game.
I don't see it.
I don't see it.
Fans have been no way. This has been the longest offseason ever.
It has.
Ever. And we have been biting our fingernails off for this.
It is. There's no way Aaron Rodgers, with the weapons that he has, this defense that gave Josh Allen fits twice last year. The Jets should have beat them twice.
Oh, agreed.
That game in Buffalo, I know it was snowing and sleet. The Jets played well enough on defense. I think they lost the game, what, 12-10 or like
something like that.
Some crazy.
It's salt in the old wound at that point in time. We like the Jets here, for sure.
Will, not only do I like the Jets to win, I don't think it's going to be close.
Really?
Something tells me that Aaron Rodgers is going to remind the NFL that not too long ago, he won back-to-back MVPs. Recently, he won back-to-back MVPs.
Right.
We're not talking about 5-6 years ago. We're talking about 2-3 years ago.
Yeah.
He still has something left. He's energized. He's fired up. They've put the pieces in place. And I'm not a believer in the Buffalo's in offense. It's Josh Allen. It's Stephon Diggs. And that's it. I know they got James Cook, who's also on my fantasy team, though. And okay. I want him to play well, but, Will, I think this is going to be like a 27-13 game, 28-17 game. Okay. I think the Jets pull away in the second half. I can see Sauce catching the pick, DJ Reed catching the pick.
DJ Reed has been a godsend to this team, no doubt.
And one of my favorite Jet players, I think he's going to, it won't surprise me if he starts by the end of the year, Jermaine Johnson.
He should.
Jermaine Johnson in the preseason had 4 sacks, was unblockable. That D-line is going to get after it, Will. Give me the Jets at home. Right. Will, that's it for picks. Any final thoughts, my friend?
No final thoughts. I mean, ironically enough, I got the Salicata thing on Twitter, by the way. I am not an idiot. I mean, I'm going to play it right now.
I am not one of them. There are a lot of stupid people out there, and I am not one of them. There are a lot.
Okay. Enough of Sal, because I love Sal too. He's a knowledgeable sports fan.
He is.
But at that same token, the hot takes, bro. Come on. That's all I gotta say on that.
Cut it out, as he used to say back in the day, Will.
Yeah, cut it out.
Well, no final thoughts for me. I'm just glad to get football going again. Cobbage gave us a little a sprinkle, but the big boys are starting. And actually, I do have one real quick final point. I'll make this short and sweet. Deion Sanders told you so. That's all I'm going to say. Deion Sanders told you so. Let's stop making this about race and about color, because, Will, there's very good. If you could coach, you could coach. Black, white, Spanish, purple, orange,
agreed,
green.
Absolutely.
I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
There's terrible white coaches. There's terrible black coaches.
Yeah.
There's great white coaches. You just name a great black coach. What Mike Tomlin has done in Pittsburgh.
Absolutely.
Is crazy. Never below 500 in any season.
Agreed.
It's crazy to believe. And he's had some teams that were not good.
Oh, absolutely.
He's gotten the last season was a team that was not good.
Yeah.
And he went 9-8. He got this team.
He did what he had to do. Absolutely. Right. I agree with that.
But I feel like this Deion thing was becoming more about race. And let's stop. He's doing it differently, which is not the traditional way.
Right.
But you can win in the untraditional way. Mm-hmm. Mike Leach. God rest his soul, college football coach, white guy,
yeah,
introduced the air raid. Not everybody uses the air raid. Mike Leach is the godfather of the modern day in the air raid,
yeah,
that we now know.
Yeah.
So it just because it's not traditional, mm-hmm, doesn't mean it cannot be embraced and loved and so on and so forth.
Absolutely.
That's all Deion is trying to do. We can win a different way, but he told you so. So on this episode of the On the Butt Sports Podcast, for my great partner, my main man, Will Cherucci, Will C. I'm your host, Sean Thomas, a.k.a. Shawnee on the mic. And like Will likes to call me, Sean T. Signing off for On The Board Sports.
One second.
Yeah, bro.
One second. Wearing that stuff.
Bro, you know what's funny?
How did you not even notice that?
You know what's funny? I noticed it, but I was like, I was going to talk to you about it after the show. But I'm going to say it now.
Say it now.
I really, really appreciate you wearing that shirt. Nets, this black and white stuff has to go. This whole, like, yeah, I get it. You want it to be clean. No. The Nets, I've always had some type of blue and some type of red in their
and white
yeah, in their uniforms. Whether it's been navy blue, red, and white, or this spectacular. I mean, bro, can you just show it real quick? Look how clean and old school and vintage and sexy.
And I'm not even like a Nets fan. I like it. It's way better than the Nick logo.
Well, thank you for wearing that.
Anytime.
Shirt. And let's go Nets with Mikal Bridges. And let's go Team USA,
yeah,
in the FIBA
Speaking
World
of the red,
Cup.
White, and blue.
Speaking of the red, white, and blue in the FIBA World Cup.
Yep.
So, for my partner, Will Cherucci, a.k.a. Will C., I'm your Sean Thomas, a.k.a. Sean T., for On The Board Sports, signing out. See you next time. Peace.